Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey,
what's happening?
How y'all doing today?
Oh, man, I'm over here making it happen. You know, they don't get the boss lady in the kitchen as much as they used to because Princess can cook now.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I just had to tell y'all, it went down. That's all I got to tell y'all. It
Uh-oh.
Went down, it's going down, it is on and popping up in here.
Uh-oh.
Half of my food
okay.
is already done. Because I rose like that. And whatever isn't done is prepped and waiting to go into the oven. So, yep, it's happening over here at the clubhouse. We got the crock pots and stuff burning down in the green room. Oven's all on 375. So, it's happening.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Oh, Sookie now.
Where's
Bebo?
Hello,
people.
Hey, Bebo.
They say just speaking into existence.
What is you cooking? Because I know you in there throwing down. What you got? What you got?
I'm not cooking anything. I'm
you know what? It's the holiday, and I will now that is a sign of abuse. I will not allow you to use
invited,
my friend like that. You better get in
somewhere.
There and cook.
She's been invited out.
You still got to cook her something.
So I'm just going to be relaxing.
You gotta hook her up. You gotta hook her up. She might want to take something to work. You gotta hook her up. You gotta be Chef Boyardee Bebo. It's the holiday. You got.
No, she don't want to take nothing to work.
She's gonna take something
start
to work.
Start getting the coworkers interested in the recipe. Should start getting crazy.
Oh no!
It's the truth. Yes, it's the truth.
Another episode of Author's Wives.
Yeah, because Tanisha already told us, and she said, and she put it nice and bold, if I find this, and she used the N-word, in somebody else's kitchen, we don't want no trouble.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Mm-mm. So we got a great night tonight. We got Nika Michelle. We also had Kenny York. It's about to go down. It's on and popping. Two really good authors as well as, friends of the show. And personally, we have a really good relationship with these ladies. We were on their show the other night, and we had a phenomenal conversation. It was a really, really good show. So I can't wait to get the ladies in here. We're talking about what, Leisha? What's our subject for tonight?
Man, we talking about shattered hearts and stolen voices.
Ooh. Yeah, because Nika, she got a book that just dropped. She's talking about forbidden fruit. And you know when you go for something forbidden, that heart can get shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And some voices are stolen because the other person don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I have read all the whole series. I have the fifth one that just came out. So if y'all have it, I got it. Yes, it is out. I got mine at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And, right, I got mine at midnight. I haven't read it yet because I haven't had time, but I know it's going to be good, so I'm not worried. But, yes, her characters, the storyline, the whole thing is just off the chain. I love Yanni and Diablo and the whole and Princess. Oh my goodness, some of her characters is a hot ass mess, but it's a good book. It's a good book series. So if y'all have not picked it up, make sure y'all grab that.
You know, our readers like that. They like that type of action.
Mm-hmm. Man, and it's everything. You know, we always, me and Tony, we always talk about it's good for authors to have a universal pen. You know, and it's not just street lit. She gives you romance. She gives you street lit. She gives you erotica. She takes you to different places, you know, and you get to experience different things. I love to read books like that where I'm able to experience a lot of things, not just the hood, because, you know, everything goes on beyond the hood as well. So, yeah, she takes you everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Including suspense and drama, too, Nisha.
Mm-hmm. All wrapped up in one, like egg roll.
Oh, shoot. I'm making some of those, too. I'm making some of those, too. It's going down. We're making those, too.
But Nika is another author that I had read her stuff before I became a part of social media, you know, as well as Nene. So, you know, it was like a pleasure. It was like a door opening when you read these authors' work and you've never had that personal experience with them.
Wow.
And you still read the whole series. So, you know, that's the makings of powerful work right there.
Yes, that's awesome, man. You know, Nika's down here, so Tony, when you come, you know you got to meet her. So,
absolutely. It would be my pleasure. Well, I'm going to open up our show officially.
All right.
Welcome to our pre-Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday night, Writing Royalty. We are so thankful for all of our listeners and our supporters. We truly are thankful for you. Now, Writing Royalty Radio is dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a community of reading and writing greatness. Now, just to put some great books into your library by Miss Capri.
Mm-hmm.
Her latest one is The Dreamweaver. You got to get that. That's just one of many. One of many. And in addition to The Dreamweaver, she has the P-Trap series, which is an all-time classic. My introduction to Miss Nene Capri, and she is actually working on part 4. I am anticipating that one click.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. My juices are just ready for it. Just get into my Kindle. Now, in addition to the P-Trap series, she also has the Trust No B series. And she shares that with Cash Streetlit author. And that was actually my introduction to Cash through Nene. So I have got a plethora of great authors in addition to Mr. Biba. Now, she's actually penning, along with Cash, the prequel to that, Isa's story. So if you haven't gotten caught up in the Trust No B series, please get caught up, because you never know when that Isa's prequel may drop.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a definite date, but, you know, with Nene and Cash, you never know. But that C&C is fire. In addition to those, Nene also has under that powerhouse of G Street Chronicles. She has Painted, Live, Fear, and Death, and her pen just continues to blaze fire. She's actually penning part 2. So how is she getting all this cookie done with all these things that she's involved in? Boy, I had to get
Devious Deception ready for by Cotillion, which will be dropping on Friday, Good Friday, and we getting Melissa's Intent ready, who will be dropping probably the following Friday. So it's just going down. It's going down over here. I'm trying to get my authors out the way so I can get back to my own pen and be able to concentrate. So as soon as I get them to Justice, I'll be right behind them.
Well, you heard it. You heard it from Boss Lady herself. You know,
I'm going to send a grant for a minute, y'all. Hold it down. I'll be right back.
Okie doke. Now, in addition to those great reads and great books, Bebo is no slouch. You better know he has some great books. But, you know, I never know with Bebo if he's taking anything off the market. But I'm just going to say what I know, which was his last one, was The Last Dawn. And Bebo, that was a classic Bebo. Well, characters developed, and I loved it. You left some powerful, powerful messages on those pages. Now, in addition to The Last Dawn, you are so welcome. He has The Rat Hunters, Till My Casket Drops. And he's also pinning under that powerhouse, G Street Chronicles, I Used to Love Her. He's actually writing part 2. And he may have some other goodies for us. You know, you just never know with the director, because he can go in any direction and be quite successful. Now, in addition to those, please, I'm going to pass it over to my beautiful tired co-host, who is putting out some fabulous trailers. Lisa, just let them know what else is going on in the literary world, girl.
Absolutely. It is Black Friday. So y'all all keep your cyber eyes peeled. Everybody is running some sort of sale on their website or through the author themselves. So if you are looking for Hot Reads, if you want to buy that, if you want to buy Black for the Black Friday holiday, check out these urban fiction authors. A lot of them are running great, great sales on their books and their series, so keep your eyes peeled on that. Bebo, you have Blurred Lines as they have a Black Friday sale. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you know, I am the director. I was behind the camera for a second, about to run into the green room. So what did I miss?
I said Blurred Lines is having a Black Friday sale. Tell them a little bit about it.
Oh, yeah. We're having a definite Black Friday sale. It's going to be on the website. All the books are definitely low price. I'm talking about you can get some paperbacks for almost Kindle price. So you need to go over there, get your paperbacks. If you order any of my titles, they'll be personally signed. And please, buy Black this week when you go out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also tomorrow, Right and Royalty Promotions, the WRP Bookstore, we will have our Black Friday sale. I haven't had time to put the flyers up, but they'll be up before midnight for those who want to get paperbacks that we have. I've reduced those prices. And then I have the series, Love, Lust, and Lies series, that will be on sale. You'll get all six books together for a low price. Free shipping and handling, so make sure you guys head over to blurredlines.com and brightonroyaltypromotions.com and check out what we have going on for Black Friday. Also, you want to head over to Amazon and check out that Bloodstained by author Itchy Moo. You can also pick up Instincts and Desire, and that's author Reggie Wells, and Nowhere to Turn with this author Byron Carey. And also hit up that My Ace of Spades hitter by Shantae and Yanni. That's on Amazon as well. So if you are looking for something good to read, if you're waiting for your next favorite read to come out, you can also hit up Amazon and get Nika Michelle's Forbidden Fruit, the final series, the final, final book for that series. If you have not read the series, you are truly missing out. The whole series is awesome.
Well, that's awesome. We got them in here tonight. Aaron, what is Aaron going to be talking about? Because Aaron
in the green room. He said he'll be back. Oh, you back?
I was in the green room. I was getting my hair dyed blonde.
Oh my God. I got to say, shout out to the ladies in Just Read. Oh my God, they had us dying today. It was
funny.
To
Just Read.
Yes, Just Read's Book Club. They had us dying today. The ladies in there, Mary Green, she is hilarious. Had a wonderful morning with those ladies. So shout out to them. They keep the reading going, keep the readers engaged. So shout out to them. What else do we have coming down the pike tonight? If you're in the Georgia area in Stockbridge, we have a live band going to be at Dree Street tonight, pre-Thanksgiving. It's going to be a live band there tonight from 8 to 11. So you definitely want to check them out. Something for the Soul out of Atlanta. They'll be there tonight getting it in. And, yeah, I'm going to head over there after I leave the studio and just try to hear me a little bit of live music and bring it on back. But, yep, shout out to George Sherman Hudson and Shauna A. They got it popping at the G Street Sports Bar and Lounge in Stockbridge. Definitely you want to check them out. Nene Capri's having her party there on December 27th. So if you're in the area, you are definitely welcome to come over and turn all the way up. Continue.
Yes, indeed. And it's going to be a extravaganza.
Aaron will be turned up. Aaron dances. I think Aaron dances.
I'm leaving my wedding band at home, even though I'm not married.
Okay.
You know what? He's trying to get himself shot. Don't listen to me. We saw him be before a reason. Don't listen to him. He ain't leaving nothing at home. He don't want to come up with no bullet holes or anything cut off or nothing because it will be going down.
I'm not even going to get into that because
we're going to party like it's 1999.
That's right. I'm going to be excited too.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to show up.
Tony, you leave your pearls at home, Tony. Don't even bring them.
Leave the pearls at home.
Yeah, don't even bring them. That way you won't have to worry about grabbing at your neck all night. Don't even bring your pearls.
Oh, Lord. I forgot to pack something.
Because Nene cuts up at the party. Y'all don't know. Y'all haven't seen it. I dance a jig, a little jig, just a tad.
It'll be all good. I can't wait.
Yes, I can't either. Are the ladies in the clubhouse yet, Leisha? Did they pull in?
Monique Michelle is driving up. She's pulling into the parking lot.
And when they get here, we're going to get a jumper. But, Aaron, how you feel about the shattered hearts and stolen voices and all of that? How you feel about that?
Well, I mean, it sounds like a very sad situation. Hopefully, I'll never have to go through it, because the last thing I want is my voice stolen or my dream shattered.
I know that's right.
Yeah, they got no sense.
I don't want either one of those to happen to myself.
Me either. Oh, goodness.
I guess it's safer to be a reader and take it in from another point of view.
When you put it like that, Bebo.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants their voice stolen. So you might need that.
No,
absolutely.
Not at all.
You might need that voice shattered. Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you something. Tequila doesn't go down right on a sore throat. You can't have your voice stolen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's introduce these authors so that when they get into the clubhouse, we can just bring them on in and we'll be ready. We have author Nika Michelle. Her love for books started at a very young age and inspired her passion for writing. Blessed with a vivid imagination, she would share her short stories with her classmates in middle school and high school. Her first novel, Forbidden Fruit, an urban tale that spins a web of love, lust, and greed. Her other titles include Forbidden Fruit 2, A New Seed, Forbidden Fruit 3, The Juices, Forbidden Fruit 4, The Last Drop, now Forbidden Fruit 5, that is how it dropped today, Black Butterfly, Black Onyx. Black Onyx is a really good series as well. It's part of the Black Butterfly series, and that's Black Magic, book 3 of the Black Butterfly series, and then Black Lace, which is book 4 of the Black Butterfly series. 0 Degrees, 1, 2, and 3, which is a collaboration with Leo Sullivan. That is a good series as well. The Nookie Ain't Free. The Nookie Still Ain't Free. And The Empress and the About That Life, Diablo Story. The About That Life, Diablo Story is the prequel for Forbidden Fruit for one of the main characters. And it just talks about how everybody met, and that was a very nice storyline as well. And I think we have author Nika Michelle in the clubhouse as well. Let's roll her on in. Hey, Nika Michelle, how are you?
I'm fine, sweetie. How are you? And thank you for that lovely introduction. You are so supportive. All of you guys, Leisha, Aaron, Mimi, I love all of y'all. I'm at home. I'm chilling. You know how I do, Aaron. I'm at the crib. Chilling.
Okay. Y'all, listen. It's going to be crazy. We're going on a gas run when I come out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My team will be low. Yo, I gotta hang out with Nika Michelle, man. She's a lovely personality, man. Real cool,
thank you.
Real people, real down to earth. You know what I mean? Real, you know, just real people, genuine. It's good
I can't
to be around
that.
Genuine people.
I'm excited.
You know, you got to let people know that, because sometimes we, us authors, go through our days on Facebook and people don't be knowing who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell? Nah, but
here
Nika,
the truth.
Nah, Nika Michelle is super duper cool, y'all, for real.
Thank you, Aaron. You know, you super duper cool for real, too. You know how to hit him with that smooth ass.
Nah,
right
for
back.
Real, y'all. She, oh, I'm telling you. She knows she's my author crush, too. She be giving me little hints on Facebook, like, yeah, I'm out with my boyfriend. I'm like, yeah, she don't want me to call right now. like, yeah, she don't want
Damn, you
like, y'all.
It's so crazy. Lord,
Aaron, that's why I mess with you, because you're crazy. You are hilarious. And by the way, my brother said, hey, he was like, that's my boy. I love Aaron. He cool. I
yo,
like
word
you.
Yo, mother, yo. Your brother is so cool. We're going to go to the studio when I come back out there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, creativity runs in the family and stuff. You know, it runs down the family. He likes to write as well. I'm trying to coach him to write a book. So he's slowly writing it. He has the concept, but he's slowly writing it. So I'm going to wait and see what he's
Y'all should co-author something.
I'm thinking that might be the way to get him in there, you know.
Yeah, that'll you know.
Yeah.
That'll be something hot, brother and sister team.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing like that in urban fiction
let's
right
go
now
back,
either.
Let's go back after this is recorded and, like, silence that out before somebody steal that idea.
Yeah.
Right, we have a brother-sister collabo coming in 2 weeks. Fresh
yeah,
off.
2 weeks.
Fresh off the presses. Okay, y'all did that real quick. Y'all did that really fast. But, you know, I have been writing really fast myself, so I can't say nothing about that. But a lot of the stuff that I have out, I wrote in 2011. So for people out there who think I wrote 16 books in the last 2 or 3 years, I probably wrote 10, but the other 6 were probably already done, like Forbidden Fruit, Black Butterfly, The Nikki A. Free.
You said that before,
I think I did, but a lot of people think I've been writing. Like, when I went to a book signing a few months ago in Memphis, and I had a few authors approach me like, you wrote 16 books in 2 years? I'm like, no, I didn't. You're going to be burnt out. I didn't write all of those books. Forbidden Fruit was written in 2000. I started Forbidden Fruit in around 2001, and it was finished in 2003. I published it myself in 2009. Then it was published again in 2011, and then Leo did it again in 2013. So we recycled that first Forbidden Fruit several times. So it has a good following, and I have never in my life seen so many loyal readers. Like, I didn't even want to do an acknowledgement page. I wanted to do a video. So I did a video. I said 120 names.
And my name was not one of them.
It wasn't. Look,
new
and that like
video,
a reader.
New video
that,
coming
that,
right
like
after the show.
My name. Look, isn't that like a reader? My name was not one of those names. I was waiting. Hey, you know what's so messed up about it? I put that post up yesterday, right? And I was like, oh, God, I hope that everybody saw this. Because I know it's going to be somebody who get me. My name. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. It's like. That was 120 names. And I'm like, who did I have in here? Who I know everybody important is in here. I'm sorry, boo-boo. So, okay, here we go.
Don't let Leisha play that pity party on you. She has a whole Trust No Bit series that has her all up in it, her name all over the place. She want to be in every book.
You are right. I have put Leisha's name in my book. You know what, Leisha Pooh? Okay, so make it up to you. Is there any book that I have written that you have not had the chance to read yet?
Black Butterfly.
No.
Look, we got loyal readers on this team. Her and Miss Tony sitting here like, I have nothing to click.
I have all of Nika's except her last one, and I am one of her loyal followers. I don't speak up a lot, but like I said earlier, I read her book before I was on Facebook, so, you know, I had read her book. So I wasn't even familiar with her personally before I got my hands on that first forbidden fruit. So I am one of her loyal fans, but I just don't.
Thank you, Boo Boo. You said you didn't get part five. You didn't get part five?
No, I didn't get part five yet.
Okay, well, inbox me your email address. I will get you part five with a very special message for you, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She's coming to see you, too, in December. She's coming down to celebrate Nene's birthday, and she got to meet you.
Okay.
Tony is so sweet. You meet her, you feel like,
oh, definitely.
I
want to
go.
She's talking about she don't speak up much. I see you speak up all the time, Miss Tony, though, all the time. I have seen her since the beginning. I'm serious. Like, it's no joke. Since day one I got on Facebook, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know nothing about marketing. That's why I tell new authors, do your research. Don't be like me. I just thought my book was good, and I was all right.
Who was the research king? Who was directing people to research day one?
Who was directing people to research?
Immediately. Like, look,
that was I'm thinking, honestly, Erin, when I first got on Facebook, the first people I remember as far as authors, you are one of them. Because I was like, you're like our militant. You're the militant of
like,
the author.
I don't like this nigga.
I never said that. Don't put that on me. I never said that. But I will say that initially my reaction to you was, let me keep reading. It seems pretty smart. I like smart people. Like, I'm the type of person I don't think like a lot. I'm a Leo. So I've never been a follower. I've always been a leader. So sometimes you just don't see me speak on certain things on Facebook. It's certain things I want to say, but the leader in me will be quiet, have learned to pull back and be quiet sometimes because I didn't have a filter. And my mom always told me, filter yourself. Now that I feel like I have, you know, people who read my books, I don't like to call them fans. I have loyal people who read my book, who are loyal readers. I don't want to get myself in a position to have to go off on somebody, and I don't want my readers to see her because I buried her after college. When I went and became an English teacher, that other girl, I grew out of that shell, and I became a new person. That person's still in me. That's why I'm very relatable to the character in Forbidden Fruit, Ayana. She struggles very hard to put the lid on when she tries to, you know, do something different. I've never been, before college or high school, I was never raised in the streets. My mom was strict. I was a bookworm. I couldn't go anywhere. But when I could finally go somewhere, you let the reins go and the dog goes wild. You can't let them off the leash. Something. So that's basically what I went through, that going to college and getting off the leash. But Ayana is totally different from me. She's raised in the streets. But at the end of the day, we do have a lot of similarities because I don't care where I grew up at or how I was raised, Mama still didn't raise me to be a punk. Like, she told me, somebody hits you, hit them back. If a dog bites you, bite the dog back. Like, that's how serious it was. Bite the dog. I'm looking at my mama like, really, Mama? Did you want me to bite a dog?
I tell that all the time. Sometimes the dog bites you. Sometimes you got to go out there and bite the dog. I'm just...
But, you know, of course, as I'm older, I realize what that meant. That was just like a dog eat dog. It's just an analogy for life. Don't let anything, you know, you fight. I always fight back. I'm a small woman. I'm 5'1". I mean, I'm not the smallest. I weigh like 130 maybe. But I'm 5'1". I'm not that tall. So usually people look at short people and assume they can, like, push you around or, you know, treat you a certain way. But whether in business or personal, you have to stand up for yourself. Because once people beat up on you, they'll never stop. You'll be bullied forever. So I always tell people, I'm not saying fight. I'm not saying beat people up. Violence is definitely not the answer. We've been seeing a lot of violence lately. So I'm definitely not preaching, you know, violence. I even saw a teacher on the news recently attack a student. And I used to be a high school teacher. And I remember feeling close to that point a few times where I could probably have gone off on somebody's child.
I see that too. I ain't going front. Thumbs up
you
to
saw
that
it?
Teacher. Hells yeah. I ain't going to be. Listen, let me tell you something, man. These little kids out here is out of control, y'all. I'm surprised she didn't start whooping that girl ass earlier than what she did. For real, because
but,
the girl had already walked by and called her a bitch. Like,
and then
like,
threw
what
a book at her.
Don't ask me nothing. And then she on there trying to call for security. Then Shorty done threw some shit at her. She ain't even thinking about Shorty no more. Shorty done walked over here and threw some shit at her. She did the exact right thing. Jumped right on her ass. The immediate response. That's what you have to do to these kids these days. It has to be the immediate discipline.
You asked
when they start
right.
acting like that.
I'm telling you, I substituted.
But you,
I
what? That just happened
I had to
me.
Get on a kid. Yes.
In my house, you know when the belt disappeared when you stomp too hard. Like, oh, you think you grown?
Oh yeah.
You stomping out the room and you think you grown. See, once you think you grown, you get grown attention.
Exactly.
Ain't no more child discipline.
But do you think that a lot of that is, you know, we're talking about, you know, stolen voices and, you know, shattered hearts. And even though, you know, we know that our books are about more adult situations, you know, adults are creating these children, and a lot of them, you know, their voices, you know, can't be heard. And the only thing they really know is violence. They can't communicate. A lot of them are illiterate in reading and math, and they tend to lash out. Or they express themselves extra, maybe sexually, or, you know, they're trying to do the drugs or whatever to try to numb some of that pain and the things that's missing. How do you feel about that balance, Nika?
I think as an educator, it was really hard for me. I'll be honest. I had, when I first became a teacher, I had ninth graders. So, you know, ninth graders are at that process where they don't know your puberty, your hormones all over the place. You think you're grown, but you're still spoiled, you're still a child. So they just were in that really bad phase. And I remember being 14, 15, and just being a confused teenager, you know, going through whatever you go through at home and, you know, having to come to school and you really don't have anybody to talk to. And as a teacher, it is your obligation to not really get personally involved with these children, because even though you have a heart, it's like being a doctor, you know. Can you really get as emotionally attached as you would like to with the student?
Right.
You know, they do go through a lot. And I was in a situation where, you know, most schools have social workers, and you have procedures you have to follow. Like if a student confessed to you that they've been abused at home or molested, you're supposed to go to that social worker and report it immediately.
Right.
And I'm supposed to be emotionally involved, like, oh, God, she told me not to say anything. But I was in that position once where this young girl came and she talked to me about it and she cried to me. And it was so sad. She said they had reported it before. She had told another school official about it, and they told a social worker, and they had the police come. You know, they had them investigate Child Protective Services. They didn't have any so-called evidence, so they left her in the household with the mother and the father to continue being abused over and over again.
Wow.
Sexually by the father, you know, physically by the mother. And I did the thing that was not ethically right. I didn't report it again because part of her plea was, I just need to talk. Every time they come investigate, nothing happens. My abuse gets worse. So if you report this, I don't know what's going to happen to me. So I was caught up in a position where I felt like balance this how. So it's easy to say it should be a balance when you are really not in the classroom getting close, when you shouldn't be getting close, because you're not trying to be their friend, but you're trying to protect them in some way, because you know that sometimes things are investigated. Like I know it's kind of off the subject, but my point really is you have to learn how to balance, and I think that comes with experience as a teacher over time. I think as a new teacher, it was hard for me because I have younger brothers and, you know, nieces, nephews, so I look at them in that same light. Like when Michael Brown got killed, I know a lot of us can look at him like, that's my little brother, that's my cousin, that's my, you can put whoever's face on him that you know. So it's a lot of empathy that I think it just comes with time. But I was watching a video last night about a lady who starved her child to death. And that little girl was 5 years old, and when she died, she weighed 19 pounds. And CPS went into that house on a regular basis and didn't do anything about the child's abuse. So at the end of the day, I think as a whole, teachers, social workers, community people, parents, we just all have to work together to give these children better lives at home so that they can get good education. And we just need to make sure that we protect the kids. Like, who are protecting these kids from their abusers? Because a lot of these abusers are at home with them. And you can't just go in the house as a teacher and scoop a child out. That's against the law. So it's really hard. It's really difficult. And honestly, that's why I'm not a teacher now. I didn't go to college to be a teacher. I went to college to be a journalist, but I had a minor in English, so I taught English, and I was going to get certified, but the emotional, you know, weight of it was too much for me. I got too attached to my students, and I was like, I can't do this. I'm not hard enough for this, not with children. I could probably be a professor because they are adults.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a totally different. So I was like, maybe, you know, one day I'll go back and be a college professor because that's a different level. Those are adults. I can be on a different. I don't have to. I don't attach to adults like I do with children. So although they were high school kids, they were still kids, and I was 23. So I'm thinking I was just here 5 years ago. I know how it feels. I haven't
right.
got so detached from it. You know, yeah, like a lot of older teachers, they detach themselves from that feeling of how it feels to be, you know, a kid and a misunderstood. And like you said, sometimes going through things. And who do they have to talk to? They can't talk to their friends because then friends tell their other friends your secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So you know not to tell them what you're going through at home. So who do these children have
right.
to go to?
And the sad part is that these children end up being the adults that we encounter every day, like with the shenanigans that may go on Facebook and different things. Like you said, just 2 years ago, this person was in high school, and they had these things going on, someone abusing them, someone, you know, hurting them, you know, breaking their heart, stealing their voice, you know, not paying them any attention. And now you're an adult still looking for attention. And sometimes I look at posts on Facebook, and I'm like, well, how old is these people? Because they crying out for somebody to just help me. I'm like, they post the most. I'm like, damn, you said all that? I mean, you in the hospital band. I mean, it'd be everything. I mean.
So it's so personal.
Right. Exactly. So, Aaron, how you feel about that? Because Aaron was talking about that, too, about, you know, the way we post and stuff on Facebook. Like I'm saying, a lot of people are still hurt little children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean. I just think that it's just a divide in the last 20 years, like between the people who've been having children and the child itself. Like a lot of these adults were kids anyway. Like they weren't groomed in a time of responsibility like that. Like a lot of them was being unruly. Running out, you know, so the child picks up on that. Because parenting don't come with no instructions.
Exactly.
So if you're irresponsible, then that's the only thing that you could teach. If you haven't come to a place of responsibility and are able to know, you know, how to be responsible, then you can't teach nobody. You can't teach a child how to be responsible. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to work because your example is all wrong.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So imagine that the wounded child grows up with no therapy, no help. And like you said, they become a wounded, attention-seeking adult, raising children and breeding a whole lot more ignorance right back. It's like a cycle. When we learn to, when you have children, it's time to research. We have these computers now. It's no excuse for not going to Google something. If you don't know, you can't ask anybody. You can always go look for support groups. Everything is on the internet. But people go on Facebook and
People don't have patience no more though.
Exactly.
Like, you could have it. You could have all the information in the world, but if you don't have patience, like. You may never be able to get that information across because anybody you try to tell, if they don't pick right up on it, you're going to be ready to move on. Like, we in the microwave era. Like, a lot of times, like, that be my flaw. That's been my flaw for the long. Like, I be thinking people should have it because the way I see things. You know what I mean? Like, for me, to read is easy. So, but to somebody who can't read, you know, it's not easy. Like, so when I put the book in front of them and they not reading it, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Give me this book. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, yo, there's obviously something wrong with you, and I don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like I had to catch myself with that because everybody is not on the same level.
Yeah, absolutely, because everything now is about convenience. Even the way we read now. Even books have evolved from the paperback to the e-book, and you get a million books in one place instead of your big bookcase. Everything is downsizing. Everything is smaller. And everything takes less time to do. So everything has a drive-thru, even the liquor store. So
Yeah, we're definitely impatient, lazy nation of people. Like, I think we do need to kind of change that attitude and try to. It's time for everything to change. We can go, like, talk for 1,000 years about this, how so many things need to evolve and change, other than how we, you know, the technology is the only thing I see evolving right now.
Yeah, but it's but all of that is just it's short term because it ain't nothing organic about it. It's man-made, so it's put together with flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you always going to keep getting a different phone, a new phone, because they keep discovering that something else could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not foolproof. You know
what I
mean?
Yeah, like,
I think
things are programmed to break in a year so that we can buy a new
one. It's not like the rain.
But, you know, there's a life cycle.
It's not like the rain bringing the grass.
There's a life cycle.
Yeah,
computers they have a life cycle on them, so they're only meant to last for so long because the company is constantly updating their software and putting out new stuff, and if they put it out right the first time, then what's going to happen? And then they have to repatch it. They have to, you know, re-put the patches in to and debug it and do all these different things, so every time they do an upgrade to it, it's something new that comes out. And the only new thing that may be new with that new product is the name, you know. It's still the same thing. They just changed a few things or adjusted a few issues that the other one had. But, yeah, everything has a life cycle on it. They're not expecting people to keep computers forever. They want to buy a new one.
Speaking of the whole concept of technology generally, like, is constantly not foolproof. Like, it's not nothing that you could depend on. Like, you could depend on, if it rains, eventually it's going to be growth in the earth. It's organic. You know what I mean? Like, all this man-made stuff is flawed. We still learning the earth. So, like, when we start creating these little gadgets and all that, it'd be looking like we moving forward, but really we just speeding. We got all these gadgets and we be speeding. How often people be on the computer or be on their phone doing something and forget to do something else in life, for real?
I know I do.
You know what I mean? So it's like, we speed and we don't even notice stuff. Even the people that's creating it, they're not familiar with the extent of it. That's why they keep creating and building and making more of it. And things didn't used to happen like that. In time, like, you would get something when it was really ready.
Yeah.
Like, they wasn't going to give you the toaster before they figured out exactly how it was going to work. Like, you wasn't going to get it in portions and pieces. Like, yo, here, take this switch and just learn how to push this down at first and see when it pops up. Then we're going to give you these springs. Like, it was put together well. Now things are just being pushed in front of us real quick, and we so quick, like, as people, consumers or whatever, like, we quick with acceptance too. Like, we be accepting things. As long as it happens quick, we go with it. When you get on the computer, only thing you want is that shit to click on the screen you want immediately. Like, it's something, so you be like, man, what's wrong with this computer?
That was me the other day, y'all. I had did some kind of system check or something on my C drive. And it got to 27%, and it was just spinning and spinning. And I'm like, I got stuff to do.
Yeah, I've seen you post that. Look at that. You went from one gadget to the next. Like, yo, I still got to get on Facebook.
I got to get on that Kindle or that phone or something.
Yeah.
I have to have, absolutely. I couldn't go to my sister's house unless I knew my hotspot was right, because she doesn't have Wi-Fi right now. And I was like, I can't go with no Wi-Fi. My book just came out. Are you serious? Like, I feel like I'm leaving my child at home without a babysitter. I can't do that. I need my I have to check on my kids, make sure everything's okay. Well, not just that, but also the readers could be interacting, want to inbox me, ask me a question. I like to be available. When they talk to me, I like to be right there so I can say thank you or whatever. Oh, yeah, you want to know what's up? 11 to A. Who said they read all of my books? Felicia, you read every last one? You have every last one already?
Yes, ma'am. Well, no, I haven't finished it. I got it at midnight. And I have I've been working, so I haven't had time to. I'm at the door.
I'm sure you haven't finished yet.
Door.
Okay, so the reason I asked is because even though it's not out yet, but the spinoff, Love in the A, will be out sometime next year, so I'll give you a gift copy of that one when it comes out to show my appreciation.
I remember telling you to spin it off.
Yes, you did.
You weren't going to write a five or something, and we were talking about Sims and talking about the elevators. And I was telling you to spin it off. You was like, I don't know.
I didn't even want to write a part four. I was done at three. It took over a year for Leo and the readers to keep pressuring me, like, you girl, you can come up with something. It's like life. Life doesn't stop. That's why it really bugs me when people say don't write sequels. That is so awful to say, because you might not like sequels, and that's fine. You don't have to continue. Because I finished my books off where if you really want to stop at 2, 3, 4, 5 or wherever, you can stop. Mm-hmm. If you're okay with that ending, you can stop. But some people are not okay with the ending, and they want to see what else happens. Don't take that away from that person, because as Black people, we might not do franchises like that. But if you look at TV, some of these movies go on forever. A soap opera has been on since I was a little girl, still going on now. These people are just growing older, and it's like life just goes on. And that can happen in a book, but there is a certain point to stop, and that's why I stopped at part five, because I had to let some of these characters just go ahead and be, and maybe I brought some new things at the end to spin off, so that when I spin the next book, we'll still have some of those characters like Diablo and Ayana maybe showing up for a few minutes, and so you can get a catch up, you know, on what's going on with them. So, I mean, if it's
the
girl, I want to keep reading it.
Who that is on the cover? I want to know who is that on the cover.
I want to know who he is myself.
Okay,
I want to know what characters. I want to know what characters they're supposed to be.
That would be.
You gotta send me an inbox.
Oh, that's all about to say. I said, if I tell you, I'm giving it away. I can't, because that could be any of the couples in the book. So. I'll just leave y'all guessing. But I inboxed you, Leisha. What you say, Aaron?
I definitely think with the series books, mm-hmm. I don't think that it's so much people don't want them, because like you said, it could be like a soap opera. You really could mm-hmm. lead the readers on for that mm-hmm. long. But what I think happens is the writing and story development disappears over time.
And yeah, that was the point I was about to make. As long as you can keep it popping and keep it fresh, great. But if not, but just like the soap operas, if you think about it, y'all, those characters are just getting older and moving out of the way for the younger characters to come along. But the title just stays the same. The title of the soap opera is not going to change. That's still going to be Days of Our Lives. It's just.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
See old characters, like you still see them because they're grown.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
You can see. And so now when you see the young kid, the young Buchanan kid, you like, okay, I remember this is old money. Like you already know why he's there. Because the whole time it's been a build up. Like you be explaining to your kid. Like, look, that was the great grandson. And he came from here and this was his mother. And they used to be married, but then she divorced him and married his brother. Because they always be going on like that, like the tides be tying in crazy.
Yeah, and they tie their real life into the stories too. Because if you think about it, when a character dies in real life, they die off the soap opera. Like they do it forever until they die.
Yeah,
and it's written into the daggone story. Miss Chandler
dies.
Exactly.
For real, like. Like I said, they had a real funeral for her on the
everything.
Show.
Exactly. Like, so think about it. Yana could be an old lady. Yana could be old and gray. Her and Diablo, old in a rocking chair somewhere with the kids.
It's about
stuff.
The story development. Like when
exactly.
I think at times it gets the authors, they basically get out of touch with their own plots and storylines, everything that they've already. Given the people, I don't think that authors probably go back and reread the work again as fans.
I do.
Themselves.
I read every last one before I write the next one. I start from book one
because
read them.
They start giving out these far-fetched plots. That's when the readers be like, yo, come on, man. Like, what is this? Like, this don't got nothing to do with. They love what you may have given them at first, but once the writing development stops. It just destroys the really people be thinking that that will destroy a brand. People will be thinking that it can't happen, but it really will destroy a brand, because you have to. At the end of the day, it goes back to writing, and people wanting a good story. So if somebody else comes along and has a popping series, it's really not gonna matter what you did yesterday. Like, that should be in the books, but it won't matter. Because nobody may not turn back that far if somebody's popping now. So as writers, I just think people need to just be more in tune with their craft. I think social media has definitely, you know, disturbed the aura of the writer, you know, because a lot of times we spend there and we're on there and we really not. As authors, we haven't even controlled the climate of reading and everything. Like, we be with the memes and, you know, not forcing people to read, because people don't even really want to read no more. Like, if you post a status in a reading community, like, if your status is too long, people like, I'm out of here. So that just lets you know that the reading community is not, you know.
But people don't. You do have those true readers out there. Like, if I know, like, if you have a series like Mini series or Cash series or Nika series, if I know that another one is coming and it's been a while since I've read the last one, I actually go back and read book one just to familiarize myself. Just to familiarize myself, and I want to see the continuation of the flow of the story.
Yes,
and I want
to. And you have to be consistent.
And I want to see that development. So, you know, you have true readers out there that actually go back to book one, and I pride myself in doing that, because it's what I love to do.
Yeah, a lot of the readers inbox me and say that they're so excited. Like, 2 weeks before the book drop, I know I got, like, several inboxes saying, oh, I'm about to start book one, and I get all the commentary. But one thing I do notice in my series is that I do go back to read so that details can be consistent. I can't say that something happened at 16 in book one and then in book five I'm saying he was 19. I have to make sure all those details are right. And so I do take notes and pay attention to that. I don't write them. I keep them in my head. I'm close to these characters. I didn't just write because somebody said it's a way to make a little money. I really got close to these people because they are people to me. But if anybody saw the video I posted, I got a little emotional in the beginning. I started to do it over, but I was like, no, this is a real moment. Just keep this. You got your hair ain't even done. Your hair look raggedy. You look like you were in a cave writing a book for the last few months. So I crawled out of the cave to make a video, and I'm like, you know what? My readers, they love me like I love them. They don't care. I don't have to get all glamorous, but I will be doing a shooter video after this weekend when I get my hair done, because I'm taking a little break, and I'm going to get cute. Then I'll come back and do the what y'all thought about the video, the book video, you know, get some feedback from the readers, see how they feel about everything. But it's very exciting, though. I'm really excited about the feedback. But I did get my first bad review for it already, and she said I killed too many people. I'm so sorry. It is. This is urban fiction. I don't write fairy tales, so people are going to die.
You said
sorry.
People was going to die. Be prepared. Be prepared.
I did a lot. I was told I did a lot of killing.
About to die.
Be prepared. Be prepared for the Grim Reaper.
Well, like Nene said, if nobody's getting killed, it ain't a real story. You know, you gotta have some killing in there.
You gotta have some killing in an urban story.
Evolution, exactly. We know it ain't Yanni and Diablo, because they might make a guest appearance in the next series, so I'm good.
Boy, dang. You know the main characters never die, y'all. I be watching Walking Dead. I'm like, how did the main dude never get killed? Everybody else dead, and his little curly head butt still out here, like, because he's the main character. They can't kill him. People going to be mad. Like, when I killed Diablo in book one, I got, like, death threats. Like, why you killed Diablo?
Why?
I'm like, y'all, stop. This
but
is a character.
That even looked suspicious. That even sounded suspicious. Like, he ain't.
But you know what?
And then it was like the character lurking in the bushes. I was like, that's him.
But you know what's funny though? What's funny about that? I didn't plan a part two, so he was dead. He was dead in book one for real. I had no book two. I didn't write book two. I was in Atlanta for 3 years before I decided to even put out book one. And then after the good response from book one, I was like, oh, God, I haven't written anything in 3 years. And I put on Adele album, and the book's been pouring out ever since. Shout out to Adele. I love her, y'all. I love Adele.
Yeah.
So,
we got
Kenny. She's going to roll up in here.
Kenny Boo. Hey, Kenny.
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. What is going on?
Like
y'all talking about some
better?
She sounds better.
That is what Percocet will do for you.
Percocet, okay.
It will have you lifted.
Don't try this at home, kid.
Please don't.
Did you get that vinegar?
See, what happened was...
You say that. She said my mama got some, but I ain't get any.
What happened was, I intended to do that, and I'm still gonna. It's on my to-do list, but I got you, and I'm gonna let you know how that works out.
It's on her to-do list. You have a long to-do
right.
list, Miss York.
I keep a to-do list. I can't operate without it. Trust me. Believe me.
So what's going on? What's on the menu?
Oh, look.
I'm going to have to take her some food because she's on bed rest right now. She can't cook anything.
Oh,
tell them you have medication on the menu.
That's, yes. Three bottles. Three different ones. But you don't want to hear about that.
No, you don't want to hear about that. No, absolutely not. Some people listening might want to hear about it. They're gonna be hitting you up on your inbox. You got some what? You got some what?
No, I'm selling books over here. I'm not selling pills. No,
well, you better let them know. She let y'all know. Don't hit her inbox up. She don't do this.
Please don't.
Welcome. They got Miss Kenya York in here. Is that her? Did she come into the clubhouse? This is Nene.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Welcome to the clubhouse, sweetie pie. How you doing?
I'm okay. I won't complain. I am great.
Ain't no use to complaining. Don't nobody listen. When I complain, they beat me
That's
over
true.
Here. So don't complain while you're over here because Alicia will hit you.
Don't listen to Nene.
When nobody's looking, Alicia pushes me. I'm telling y'all don't know. And she tells me I can't go to sleep at night,
but you tell me I'm going to sleep, but I'll make sure you be up at 4, because I'm going to be checking to see if you're up. She be trying to not tell me not to go to sleep. Is that how she doing me?
I'm not listening.
I feel like that's silly sometimes.
That's my baby girl. She's the best. Now, I'm happy to have you in the clubhouse. What new ones do you have coming? I know you got some things going on, some big on the horizon. You got any news, anything you want to announce or share?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you, but you said, do I have anything I want to share? Huh?
Work, anything?
Last month, in October, I released Girls.
We can't hear you. Can you, that background, we can't hear you with the background. Try it one more time.
I'm in a quiet place, so it's not my background. I'm sorry.
Is that Nika Michelle? Did Nika Michelle plug up her TV in my studio?
There it goes.
I was on mute.
Okay. It's probably Leisha, I bet.
No, it ain't Leisha. I'll put everybody out. Matter of fact, my husband's still at work.
go ahead, Ken, tell us what's going on.
I was just saying, in October, I released The Girls, or re-released The Girls, which is one of my favorite books that I've written. Simple book about friendship, because I'm real big on personal or interpersonal relationships, and also relationships between females, because a lot of times you get a group of women together, it's anticipated that it's going to always be some mess, and a lot of times it is, but I want to show the positive side of female interactions as well. So I was excited mm-hmm. about the release of that. And, of course, you know, we have the Literary Ladies of the ATL stuff going on with our show that we do every Monday. Shameless plug for Lit It's Live Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that's about it. I'm kind of doing some personal things over here, working on getting my stuff together so I can be a better Kenny and a better author and get my business where I want it to be. A lot of people don't know that I offer services such as editing and ghostwriting, so I'm working more on that versus putting out my own projects. So that's where I am. I'm kind of everywhere.
That's great. I'm excited. I can't wait to see your new projects and what you have coming, you know, up next and down the pike. And when you come into the A, are you already in the A?
Well, I live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And
you,
I have
you
to
ain't
see,
back, you ain't
what
back
kind
Kenny?
Of is that?
You ain't Maybe back
I,
Kenny.
I mean,
Kenny.
I haven't seen Nika Michelle. I haven't seen Kenya. Everybody's in the A, and nobody's talking to NeNe. I mean, what happened? They spread
Sorry,
the word.
NeNe. Okay. No, NeNe. I was in the cave. I had to unmute for that one. I was in the cave, woman. You already know that. Okay, I'm going back to mute now.
Not really. But
right,
no,
I'll be looking for y'all.
NeNe, when you had that book signing at Nubian Bookstore, I really wanted to come. I can't even remember what was happening at that time. I know it was a Saturday, and I intended to come out, and I just couldn't make it. But I like to be part of. I'll pop
don't be
in
me with what had happened was. Don't be hitting me with what had happened was.
What had happened? I want you to know my intentions were good. You just, yeah, I'm sorry. My bad.
All right, I forgive you, but if you ain't at my party, just don't even show your face on the streets of Georgia, because in Georgia,
no.
In Savannah, like nowhere, because I'm going to be looking for you.
Let me make sure I be at that party, because I don't want to be watching up to the limits and get got or something. So anybody knows, if Kenny's coming, y'all better go holler at Nebo.
Aaron's bringing the sunshine all the way from Florida, so y'all know that y'all have to be there. He's bringing us the sunshine.
Okay, we'll be there.
Okay. Yes. All right, I don't want to have to cry in the car, because I will cry in the car.
No, we do not want that.
Don't cry. That's
we
awesome.
Don't like to see our girls cry.
No. Okay. No, I don't want that. But I'm happy that you ladies are here. Are definitely a strong force in literature. Personalities are definitely off the Richter, and I'm quite sure that the readers can feel that, you know, through your work, through your, you know, your social media presence. And, you know, we're just happy to, you know, be right on your side doing, you know, the same thing in literature. So that is so, so awesome to see that. You know? So I can't wait to meet you. And I can't wait to meet Miss Nika, because me and her fighting over a man right now. So
I know.
We're playing
that's
it
so
cool.
Sad.
Playing it cool.
I will be cordial since you stole my man and got chicken nuggets, and I never got chicken nuggets. I got to give it to you. You the girl, right? Like, you got chicken nuggets.
Who y'all was talking about.
No, I'm the number one. Y'all already know. I put that trap on him. And I looked at his eyes. He was like, oh, my God.
That forbidden fruit wasn't enough. She was trapping. So he was like, whatever.
Yeah, he offered me nuggets. I don't even eat meat. Now, you know you gangster. When you don't eat meat, you got a man spending money on something that you don't even use.
And I eat nuggets. And I eat them, and I can't get them, girl. I got to bow down to you. I got to bow down to NeNe.
Our man is 5 years old. He's a sweetheart, Ebony Oliver's little son.
So cute.
He's so gorgeous, and he's a ladies' man.
Yes.
He's just killing all the hearts at the book signing. So shout out to Ebony. Brought him out. And he's a beautiful personality as well. So I'm really, really happy that I met these ladies. But we're talking tonight about, you know, shattered hearts, stolen voices. We've been talking about how it starts, you know, in the youth, and then they become adults. With, you know, broken hearts, shattered hearts, and stolen voices. How do you feel about that, Kenya?
I'm sorry. I have to tell you, it's Kenny, not Kenya. That just kind of, that's just my peanut butter in it.
I don't want to get hurt. I'm sorry. I need my thumb.
But I've been listening, and I was corresponding with Nika while you guys were talking, and somebody made a statement that broken children – turn into adults seeking attention. And I can understand that because I've been a broken child, and I know what that's like to not get the guidance or the healing or the direction that you need when you're a kid, and then you grow up and you haven't gotten any of that. It's like, how do you have anything to give to somebody else when you haven't gotten what it was that you needed as a child? How do you fix that? I don't know, honestly. I don't know. For me, I was broken in the way that I was sexually abused by my father. So I never got any counseling for that. I wish I had, because that situation, it really impacted the way I interact with other people, all of my relationships, be it romantic, friendship, whatever. It's impacted all of that. So now as an adult, I think that if I had gotten the help that I needed back then, and if I had parents or a father that loved me the way a father is supposed to love his daughter, maybe I would have become a different person. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a horrible person, but I think that I have a lot of work that I could do on myself to make me a better Kenny if I had those things before as a child. That's hard.
Yeah, it is. It is hard. And, you know, we thank you for bearing that part of your soul, because we have a lot of women who are listening, and, you know, we do our shows on domestic violence and abuse. So we definitely want to encourage, if you have, you know, gotten to adulthood or under adulthood, you know, reach out. As the doctors who came on our show said, you know, find a safe place to have conversations and try to get yourself, you know, some of that help and some of that service. Like, when we look at a lot of the videos and stuff that we see of the young girls and stuff on YouTube and things like that, and I'm saying to myself, even though people are like, oh, that's ratchet, maybe saying stuff, but that's a soul crying out for some sort of help.
Something happened
to that woman as a child or as a teen, you know, that makes her get on a video and, you know what I'm saying, she just wilding out. Like, I saw one they had posted a couple of weeks back, and they had a girl, and she was definitely, you could see the house wasn't right, her hair was tore up, and she was getting oral sex from her dude. He laying on the floor, she on top of him, so she riding his face. And her 3-year-old is, like, right there next to them, like, playing.
Oh, God.
I mean, somebody filming it. It's not like the camera was on the dresser. Somebody was filming it, and it was, like, wow. And I'm like, she was in it. Like, the kid wasn't there. It's daytime. The kid running around trying to watch SpongeBob. I'm like, oh, my God. It was just crazy to me. And I'm saying to myself, that's a cry out for something. You know what I'm saying? Because a person who has all of the faculties about them would not do something like that. You know, like, something has happened to her that says that that type of behavior is okay. How do you feel about that, Kenny?
I can't wrap my head around that, because that's never anything that I would do. But then again, I don't know what her upbringing was like. I don't know what she was taught, because, like you said, something had to happen to make her think that that was okay. But I'm thinking that's going to go back to your upbringing, to your childhood, to how you were raised, what morals were instilled in you, what was it that you thought every day in your household that made you think that it's okay for you to do this in your household? I don't know.
That's some hurtful stuff. That's some pain, you know, and it's going to be more pain because she's not getting positive feedback from it. So now what she will have to do is say, well, F them. They don't know me. Da, 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 F them. You know what I'm saying? So now it takes on a different type of personality or attitude. So now I'm not even going to reach out for help because F y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing me. You know, so now it pushes them further into an abyss. And that's just scary because
this
is a new generation. Go ahead, Aaron.
That happens, but also, too, like, you got, like, Let's not push all our kids into a hole, because there are some kids that face them same circumstances, and they do have. It goes back to the it has something to do with the upbringing and the influences, and the circumstance. But it also has to do with the education level. Like, there's kids that's smart enough to deal with that. That could be like that can take criticism because they understand that that's part of the world. Like, when somebody tells them, like, yo, they don't take the approach of you don't know me, because they really understand, like, they trying to find themselves and they can see wrong even in their own eyes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When they looking at themselves. So I don't think that all kids today don't understand. You know what I mean? I just think that it's more pressure because I see smart – I see kids that I know are smart doing dumb shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't – it's like – I think it's just more pressure. Like how it used to be when we were coming up and the adults would say, if your friends jump off the bridge, are you going to do it too? I think now the answer that most children would give is yeah, because of the peer pressure that exists. Mm. Not because they don't have the answers or they can't find a solution within the circumstances. It's just that they just don't, you know, they don't try because of the peer pressure. And then the lack of parents knowing their children. Like, if their parents don't know, you know, like, Keisha come on all the time and say how she be knowing her kids' friends. You know how many parents don't really know their kids' friends? They know the friends that they bring to the house, but they don't know them other friends that they be with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, it's like, you know, you have to, like, you have to look at the separation between the parent and child and then the amount of attachment a child has to their peers. And then their peers not knowing enough in the world to really guide them in the proper manner as well either, depending on their level of responsibility and know-how.
That's another thing that I was – I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's another thing that I was going to say is personal responsibility, because I can know my children – I can know my children's friends. I can instill as much morale in them as I want. But then when you go out into the world at some point, you have to take responsibility for your own actions. And you can't say, I did it because such and such pressured me to do it, or I did it because mommy said I should or shouldn't. At some point, you're going to have to take personal responsibility for the shit that you do.
Yeah, and I'm sure all of us is probably guilty of that at some points, whether it was a child or you know, adolescent and young adult. Like, I mean, how many people personally just went to their parent and just asked, like, just talk to them? And I'm not saying have to talk about sex, but just went to their parent, like, yo, I'm about to go do this right now. Or was it some shit you snuck off and did? You made a conscious decision at some point. You became aware. I know I became aware of my body. Like, you know what? This is definitely something that my mother, my father don't own.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a conscious decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's just things like that. Like even with children acquiring certain things like high school diplomas or degrees or whatever. That be that individual achievement. Those are the times in life when you've grown away from your parents, not away from them in the sense of, like, they're not your parents no more and y'all don't have that bond, but you growing away from them in the sense of coming into your own.
Right.
Absolutely. You know what? And you're right, Aaron, but I'm going to say this. I know when I was 15, I was already engulfed in the street so hard, and I was hiding a lot of stuff from my mom, and I can remember her. We was high, and she would go to work, but she didn't go to work until about 12 o'clock. So me and my friends would hide until, you know, she left, and we would come back in the house and, you know, catch cold. But it hit winter time, and I said, oh, no, Lord, I can't be outside. You know, it was cold. I don't know what. But she came in my room. She was busting the door. Why are you still in the bed? Why are you going to school? I said, look, I haven't been going to school, and I don't plan on going to school. I am not getting up. I'm sorry. And she looked at me, but she said, well, you're going to do something. I got to go to work. You have to figure it out when I get back. And she shut the door. But I had to start having real conversations with her. Like, me and my brother, we was wilding. We was smoking weed. People was reporting it to her. And she was embarrassed. So she told us, don't be smoking outside. Smoke in the house. Like, she was trying to accommodate what we was doing, but it was moving so fast. And it was crazy, you know, it just next thing you know, I was kicking the doors, and it just was bonkers.
Yeah.
All the stuff was going.
Cause it be growing. You know why it be growing bigger than your parent? Like that it grows bigger than your parents. The things that you get into. Like, I can't go home at 14 and tell my mom, yo, the kids from the projects across the street are shooting at us. You know what I mean? Like, my moms ain't got no gun. I got to go talk to somebody else in the hood now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like a different, like it's a different thing. Like that's what I'm talking about, the pressure. The mm-hmm. pressures is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? On these kids, not that these kids are totally stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that would be all. That would like to be our quick reaction. Like, ah, these kids are stupid. But really, it's just that is the gap, the relationship gap. It needs to be it needs to be bonded better, and that starts with us adults too, because the kids only know what they're taught to a certain
mm-hmm.
degree, and then they start teaching themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They got to learn how to read first before they can read. So like we have to have those bonds. And when I was coming up, my mother didn't have to be home, because guess what? If somebody else from the neighborhood saw me, it was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to come back. It has to be back, and it has to come back. These kids have to know that early so that they do go hard when they selling their drug. They tell, like, yo, we can't serve her right now because Miss So-and-so coming in the building.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Ain't no more, like, I don't care who coming in and out the building. So what? They know what's going on. That has to stop.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like it's just the whole concept of the togetherness thing is gone. No one's throwing barbecues in the neighborhood no more.
Uh-huh.
As a whole, like really bringing neighborhoods together, not just the street that they're on, the neighborhoods. You
right,
know,
that's
remember the spring cleanup, like before Labor Day, the whole every neighborhood would be out clean. I'm talking about scrubbing the
yep.
Stoops and
yep.
everything. Like you don't
yep.
see that no more. Your people barely even know their neighbors now. They're
mm-hmm.
neighbors. People
yep,
barely
know
because they just trying to dodge in and out their house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have to stop that. Those are the things that's going to better our community. Like, I can't be living next to you for 10 years and barely know you. That's a
mm-hmm.
problem. Like, that's really a problem. Only time I come to your house is if it's an emergency or something. It's a problem.
And that's the truth. And half the time, not even in an emergency, because you saw Larry that you don't even know who the people are. You know, when I got here, Georgia, the lady behind us, you know, neighborhood watch lady, she was like, come here. She pulled us to the gate, and she wanted to, you know, tell us everything going in the neighborhood. She's like, don't let no friends in your house because the kids that live there before you, you know, they let kids in, and they came back and stole their games. And she was giving us the lowdown, but she was like, we're on top of it. You know, we're neighborhood watch, but... You know, it's a shame that you can't just say, hey, neighbor, welcome to the neighborhood. You got to give the neighbor 15 safety rules and laws before they even get comfortable
you know why?
In their home.
You know why? Because kids is getting caught stealing and the parent is beating them disciplining them for the wrong thing, whether it's beating them or whatever type of verbal. Now they disciplining them for getting caught instead of disciplining them for really doing what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, yo, I'm mad at you because you brought this shit to me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, they more upset by the fact, like, yo, now I have to deal with this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the bad approach from parents, too, that's messing things up, because that the message that sends to the kid is, oh, it's okay as long as I don't get caught.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so... Like, you see it all the time. Look at even these videos and stuff we be watching. You be seeing adults out there egging kids on to fight kids. Like, I never seen that when I was growing up. Like, if we was fighting or something after school and we seen an adult, we knew we was ducking into a whole nother block where nobody was at. Like, we taking the fight somewhere where we know it ain't no adults, not just the school people, no adults, because they going to stop it.
And Aaron, the older kids would stop it. They would let it go to a certain point, but then, all right, let little man go. He got his lesson.
Now these kids now, before they try to stop anything, they pulling out their phone, other grown people screaming, world star, jumping around like kids, mm-hmm. looking stupid as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yo, what the hell is going on?
About that video that I saw with the guy in the train station. I don't know what this man did to him, but
They scuffling around on the ground. Then the dude pulls out a knife. He on top of the dude. He starts stabbing him. The dude is filming it, and he's saying, man, I think you're going too far. Then he yells to the male that's on the ground getting stabbed all in the face and neck. You want me to get him off you, bruh? You want me to get him off you, bruh? He like, yes, he killing me. I'm like, oh, my God. And dude didn't stop filming.
I ain't gonna front. Like certain situations, you either gotta react real quick or you don't react. Like, cause you can't, come on. Dude, whoever was stabbing that dude ain't gonna take dude with the camera seriously now. If he try to approach the situation now, he probably gonna stab him too.
Damn, nobody was calling for help. Nobody was yelling out 911. The people on the train were standing up just looking. I was like, oh, my God, where's
the
security when you need it?
Honestly, though, that's a typical New York scene, though. New Yorkers would walk right by you, y'all.
Nobody
like, for real, like, they could see you bleeding out. They'll walk because they like, I don't know, you fuck around, try to stop and help you, and then they get shot because whoever was trying to kill you don't want them to help. You know what I mean? Like,
ain't that crazy?
Yeah, but nah, that's a typical New York City. But aside from that, though, I'm talking about inside neighborhoods where we live amongst each other.
Right.
Like the gap is crazy, yo. People don't even know each other no more.
Mm-hmm.
People get on the elevator in the morning, they see each other and ride down from the 20th floor all the way down to the lobby and don't even say good morning.
You ain't lying.
Every day, at the same time, get on the elevator. They might nod or grunt. Like, come on, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just ridiculous. And I'd be like, damn, that's why our poor kids, you'd be like, damn, I'm standing a chance. Because the adults is off.
Yeah, for real.
They off kilter.
It starts with the adults. We got to better our relations with each other so that our kids could grow up playing with each other and loving each other and having that same bond and unity growing up, so it's built in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it's separation, if we teaching our kids hurry up and close the door and lock the top lock, you know what I mean, then that's how they're going to view the world.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's crazy. Girl, where's Nika at? And I know she's been working with children. I want to hear her take on that, what we just were saying about that condition.
I'm sorry. Say that again, sweetheart.
About what's going on. We were just talking about the dynamic of, you know, today's youth and, you know, the community, how the community is no longer a part of helping to raise our youth. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah. I hear when Aaron was saying how where he's from, they would clean up, you know, together and make sure that everything was in order. I remember growing up in an environment where it was like the village raised the children, and now you can't barely touch your own children. So, you know, another person is not going to discipline your children because you can't do it.
Absolutely. The parents show up at the school ready to go in the street. You be like, well, dang on.
That's another reason why people ain't disciplining your kids now. You know why? Because that's us. Those are our kids. So now when somebody says something to my son or your daughter, guess what we doing? We pulling on our sneakers about to run out there and box.
And fight with the kids now. Like the parents out there fighting with the kids now instead of telling them.
To see what really happened.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's really like everything's going backwards. It's going backwards now.
You know,
everything
coming out. Your kids, as a child, I would consider the things I came in the house and told my mother when it involved another adult.
Exactly.
Because you know what? She was going to go back outside, but she wasn't going back outside on no crazy shit just on my word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was about to go see what the adult, what happened with the adult. She's going to talk to the adult.
Yeah.
And nine times out of ten, I probably was doing some shit I ain't have no business doing in the first place before the adult even got involved. So now I'm outside contemplating that before I even go in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, I'm not even going to tell her about this shit. I'm going to just
Aaron,
take that.
And praying. The whole, every time the phone ring, you be praying, like, sound like, oh, Jesus, please don't let that be Miss Smith. Lord, have mercy. I hope that ain't Miss Smith.
She was right out there in the store.
You be looking at your other face. You'd be like, who's she talking to? Lord have mercy. Is that Miss Smith? I hope that ain't Miss Smith. Call
her.
I mean, you don't know what she's
calling. We just heard the ringer, turned the ringer off. So she
taking
yes, off. Yes, yes. Because
you know what you did. Yeah. Every time the phone rings, you be like,
you
I got it.
Yeah,
I got it.
Hang up.
Mom
catch
on to that shit. By the third time, mom she done pulled right onto that. Like, sit your ass down. I'm going to answer my phone. Every time the phone rings.
What was it, Star 69 that they came up with to call the last
number
back? Oh, they should have. When they came up with Dan Paul ID, all of that was over. It was no more.
Over.
You can't pretend no more. That's what
I
think they did it for.
The answering machine.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Now, but the answering machine, we used to be going back making our own tapes.
Yeah.
Plant.
Like, yes, this is the school. He was in school all month. Don't worry about it.
That's crazy. But now, shoot, the kid will pull their cell phone out, call the mother, put it on speaker. The mother be like, "You right there, Miss So and So. I'm about to bust your."
Yeah, the mothers be threatening teachers, and all my teachers be scared to death. Like, yo, whatever you do, let's just don't call his moms. Let's see if we can settle this shit right here.
Figure this out. This is awful. Yeah, send him to the nurse first. Because send him to the nurse, see if he can get an aspirin or something. Because he's just, I'm not saying nothing. But the worst thing
as a child, before you used to be scared.
The situation was getting real when I was, you know, working, because my daughter was in school. I took her out now. I homeschool her. But in Philly, it's off the chain. I never seen nothing like this. But anyway, I'm working in the school. I'm substituting, helping them out. And there was a kid acting crazy in the kindergarten. And they was like, oh, he acting crazy? That's all right. We're going to go get his mother. I said, where his mother? He said, upstairs on the fourth floor. And it only went to eighth grade. I was like, what happened? I'm like, you got the mother and the child in the same building, and it's not even high school? That's when I knew stuff had got real. It's like, you're going to get his mother. I was like,
Well, you used to control kids in a classroom with a threat. Of going to the principal's office. Now, they'd be like, yeah, let's go. When we get there, I'm calling my mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, guys, just sit in the back of the classroom, keep disturbing everybody. Don't worry about it. Too much of mother coming up here. For real. Kids, parents, mothers can't go on the school grounds or nothing.
Exactly. It's crazy. It's crazy.
For real,
go ahead,
it's crazy.
Go ahead, Alicia. I think Alicia
has
something to say. Go ahead, Lee.
No, I was going to say, today, because it's the day before Thanksgiving, our show is not a full 2 hours, but it was funny because you know how you get the note sent home? The note never actually make it home.
I'm here at the mailbox praying, waiting for Mr. Bobby, the mailman. Like, please, Mr. Bobby, let me have the mail. He'd be looking at me. He'd be like, I'll hold it till tomorrow. You know, they knew everybody back then. They knew all your mamas and stuff. Why are you so eager to get this mail?
You start being super friendly. You super friendly then. You want me to do anything else for you, Mom? Okay, I'm going to go check the mail, okay? All right. I'll be right back.
But it's a blessing.
Yo, it's just crazy. It's crazy right now. That's all it is, though. Like a lot of that responsibility is on us because those are our kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's doing this. You know what I mean? Like, as sad as it is to say, that's who's out there, you know, doing a lot of these acts. I mean, the generation right below, the ones we birthed, are the ones running around creating a bunch of chaos. So, like, we failed. And we got to try to, you know, put some type of repair on the situation.
Yeah,
you got to try to pull it back in because you are, like, you older now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't hang out with none of my friends that are still thinking like we was thinking 20 years ago. If they still thinking the same way we was thinking 20 years ago, I can't be around them.
Exactly.
Stuff ain't happening that was happening 20 years ago. So why would we even be in acting like that? Like,
No, but it really is a lot of people that's stuck in time.
Yeah. Right. You're right. And I see some of my friends, we 40. They be set claiming, and I'm like, y'all waited till you, half of them who wasn't in the gang when we was out there in the streets, now they 40 and they set claiming. I'm like, you waited till you was till you got 40 to join a gang? That was your
you need some progress. Here. Progress, don't digress.
I'm saying. Absolutely. That's crazy.
I like that.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Like you know what? You got a lot of younger people right now influencing the adults. It's like the kids then became the teachers in a lot of different circumstances because adults don't be, you know, knowing what the hell be going on. They don't even be knowing what their kids be talking about half the time. They be having to ask them what it mean instead of them telling what the child what something is. They be like, what this mean? I'm like, oh, that's Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I'm like, oh. You know what I mean, like, for real. So it's like when you in an environment like that where the kids are that makes it more the door open for them to be unruly because they're like, I'm telling you what the hell going on. You gonna tell me?
Absolutely. That's crazy. Yeah, but it's awesome. It's really really awesome that we had the ladies in here. Like we said, it's our pre-holiday show, so the clubhouse is getting ready to get the turkey and things on. We pray that you guys have a real holiday, you know, with
Likewise.
Your family, travel,
stay. Thank you.
Yes, and may your career continue to flourish. Definitely, Nika, shout
Thank
out.
Thank you.
And then we want to have Kenny do the same so that our readers can get over there and get their one click on.
Okay, well. Forbidden Fruit 5 dropped today, so you can definitely go to Amazon, and if you have a Kindle, you can one-click it. If you don't have a Kindle, you have a device such as a tablet, iPad, iPhone, you can download the app for free and read all the books. I'm always giving away free stuff, so make a presence on my page. My friends list is a little, I think I'm up to the limit, so I do have an author page. You can go like it, inbox me, and... Y'all know I support other authors. I support all the readers. I support my girl, Kenny. So, you know, we all out here trying to get all this together. So make sure you check both of us out. Kenny, have a good holiday, babe. I know you're tired. You can get some sleep. Night-night. Thank you, Nene, Leisha, Aaron.
Thank
Am I forgetting somebody? Nene, Leisha, Aaron. I'm forgetting somebody.
Tony.
It's Tony.
Tony, you be so quiet in there, girl. Come on now. I'm like, yeah, I know it's a fourth person in there, my Tony. Okay, I owe you a book. I got you. Give me your email address. And, Leisha, give me your email address in the inbox, and I'll send it to y'all. But thank you, and have a great holiday. I really enjoyed you guys.
You too. Thank you so much. It was a special holiday edition of Writing Royalty Radio. You were on here with Aaron Bebo. I am Nene Capri, the boss lady. We got Miss Tony and Miss Leisha. We had Nika Michelle and Kenny York. The beautiful ladies have graced the clubhouse, and we thank them. Make sure you go over there to Amazon and hit them one click and get yourself some wonderful reads for the holidays. Everybody have a good one and a safe one. Good night. Leisha, drop that beat.
Good night.
You guys have a happy Thanksgiving, and we
will happy
see
Thanksgiving,
you
everyone.
On Sunday for AuthorWise.
Yeah.
Oh, now you were one lucky nigger.
You better listen to your boss, white boy.
Oh, I'm going to go walking in the moonlight with you.
You want to hold my hand?
Black Jarvis for 100 bad men, 100 black grapes so I can lay they ass in. I need 100 black preachers with a black sermon to tell from 100 black Bibles. Why we send them all to hell? I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins. Black coffins. I need 100 black coffins. Seen 100 niggas die. I put that on my life. Lord, I wouldn't tell a lie unless it had to do with mine. In the middle of the night. Killers coming for your life. All he wanna do is shine. I broke off the chains, only the realest remain. See you praying to Jesus, but will that help ease the pain? Seen a brother get slain for a jar full of change. Yet I post on the block, look like I'm Big Daddy Kane. Is you a cat or a mouse? Need some rest out the house. A lot of scars on my back, tattoos all around. 100 dead bitches, 100 black coffins. Money on this dead bitch, I'm trying to make a fortune. I need 100 black covers for 100 bad men, 100 black grapes so I can lay their ass in. I need 100 black preachers with a black sermon to tell from 100 black Bible. Why we send them all to hell? I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins. Black coffins. I need 100 black coffins. Black coffin, oh Lord, black coffin. I seen 100 women burn as they stood firm. Treat a nigga like a germ. What did she do to deserve? Put me on the farm, big feet in a jar. Serve it to me warm. Any questions, they hang them. Better pray for Django. Got me working in fields too many years to get fatal. All I want is my woman, such a wonderful mother. On the days that it rains, her smile bright like the summer. My revenge is the sweetest. Bitch, cause I'm coming. Gotta die in my arms for what you did to my mother. 100 dead bitches, 100 black coffins, 12 gauge shotgun, chest full of coffins. I need 100 black coffins for 100 bad men, 100 black grapes so I can lay their ass in. I need 100 black preachers with a black sermon to tell from 100 black Bible. Why we send them all to hell? I need 100 black coffins. Black coffins.